This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, March 24th, 2017, coming up this hour.
After yesterday's delay, the House looks to vote on President Trump's health care bill amid uncertainty of support for the measure.
OPEC producers and allies gather in Kuwait to take stock of the impact of oil production cuts.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan says the time is drawing near for policymakers to shrink their balance sheet.
President Trump says if a vote isn't held today on the Republican health care plan, he's moving on to other issues. I'm Michael Barr. More on this and other stories straight ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, Knicks run into one of the best point guards in the league, and it shows. Nets roll over the Suns in a big win for the Big East.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 39, NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is little change, down less than a tenth of a percent. So is the FTSE 100. And the CAC in Paris is down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.42%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.26%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 39 cents to $48.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.80 to $12.47.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0809. The yen, 111.08.
They'll try again today. House members are set to vote on the embattled bill to replace Obamacare after postponing yesterday's vote. The Trump administration is pushing lawmakers to act, even without knowing if there's enough support for the measure. Eric Cantor, former House Majority Leader and current banker at Moelis & Company, tells us he thinks it will pass.
These things get done in Washington. Republicans are completely in control now. There's no excuse for health care reform or tax reform not getting done, and they'll get it done.
Harvard University Professor Larry Summers, meantime, who served as Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration, is criticizing the bill, telling Bloomberg it would be a substantial blow to the U.S. economy.
It would damage lower-income people who would then have less spending power, because of the way it would shift burdens to employers who would then be less able to compete.
Passage of the health care overhaul would be an important win for President Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan, but a setback could cast doubt on whether they can deliver their ambitious agenda.
Former U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman calls President Trump's plan to abandon the Trans-Pacific Partnership a terrible mistake. Speaking to Bloomberg on the southern Chinese island of Hainan, Froman warned that scrapping the deal would have broad ramifications for the U.S.
The worst-case scenario would be some sort of tit-for-tat, where the U.S. takes action that raises tariffs on other countries' exports and the other countries decide to respond. That could very much lead to a decline in growth, could hurt American workers. You know, we export more than $2 trillion worth of goods and services. We need access to other markets to support well-paying jobs at home.
Froman was a Harvard Law School classmate of Barack Obama and served as the former president's top trade negotiator during his final term.
Mexico's top diplomat, meantime, says his country is ready for NAFTA to end if it can't reach a deal with the U.S. and Canada. In an interview with Bloomberg, Mexico's foreign relations minister, Luis Videgaray, says President Enrique Peña Nieto has set clear limits for what he can accept in negotiations with the U.S.
We have to prepare for all scenarios, and if what what is on the table is something that is not good for Mexico, Mexico will step away from NAFTA.
Videgaray says Mexico is open to including a mechanism to stabilize the peso as part of a NAFTA update as long as it preserves free trading of the currency. U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross had alluded to such a measure earlier this month.
In the Middle East, OPEC members and their allies are meeting to review the impact of oil production cuts. The talks in Kuwait will likely focus on whether the persisting glut requires extending curbs beyond the summer. Bloomberg's Youssef Gamaluddin is there.
Going into this meeting, they're going to be looking to review the progress, or arguably the lack thereof, Saudi Arabia has been shouldering most of this cuts. And then you need to also look at compliance levels from the other members. When you look at the performance in terms of compliance with Russia and the non-OPEC group, its allies, that's only 41%, possibly as high as 67%, a latest estimate for February. So all of that against the backdrop where you have more oil, U.S. crude inventories still at the highest seasonal level in over three decades, countering the oil that OPEC is trying to get out of the market. So there's a lot at stake here. And look, oil bulls are looking for hard, tangible, meaningful data that actually says this plan's working.
Bloomberg's Youssef Kamaladin reporting from the OPEC meeting in Kuwait. Thank you, Youssef. And checking oil prices now, West Texas Intermediate is up 0.8% or 38 cents to $48.08 a barrel. Brent is at $50.95. That's up 0.8% as well.
Here in the U.S., Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas President Robert Kaplan says three interest rate hikes this year, reasonable. Speaking at an event in Chicago, he also said the time is drawing near for the Fed to announce plans to roll off mortgage-backed securities and treasury holdings.
As we make further progress, get further along in removing accommodation, there's a point at which we should start taking steps to allow the balance sheet to gradually run off.
We'll also hear from other policymakers this morning with Fed Bank of Chicago President Charles Evans, St. Louis Fed Chief James Bullard, and New York President William Dudley, all scheduled to deliver remarks.
And at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Commerce Department issues its report on factory orders for durable goods. Economists forecast a 1.3% gain. We get the details from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
In January, durable goods orders rose 2%, the first increase in 3 months. Commercial aircraft led the gain, offsetting a lackluster performance in spending and plant and equipment. Looking ahead, economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say today's report could signal whether improved business sentiment is translating into increased demand. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. And again, futures are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures are up 10. This is the DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. More now on that cliffhanger at the Capitol from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The House plans today to vote on the Republican health care plan to replace Obamacare, but not all Republicans are on board. Freshman Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona says, "I cannot support anything less than a clean repeal of Obamacare." And the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, says he is still a no, but it is desperately trying to get to a yes.
I think at this point, some of the provisions in here do not lower health care costs enough, certainly for my constituents.
President Donald Trump abandoned negotiations yesterday, indicating that if today's vote fails, he's ready to move on to other issues. Yesterday's House vote on the bill was postponed until today. Senior officials say the Trump administration will approve the Keystone XL pipeline today. Officials say the State Department will recommend the pipeline is in U.S. interest, clearing the way for the White House to grant a presidential permit to TransCanada to build the $8 billion pipeline. Native American tribes, landowners, and environmental groups oppose the project. Far-right French presidential candidate Marine Le Pen heads to Russia today. Bloomberg's Carolina Conan in Paris reports ties between Le Pen and Moscow are strong.
She'll hold discussions with lawmakers of the state Duma. She's called the sanctions on Russia completely stupid and sees Putin as an ally in the fight against terrorism, including in Syria. The Russian government is not hiding its preference either. The foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, compared Le Pen to Trump, saying they were both realists and anti-globalists. Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Hong Kong's Electoral College this weekend will elect its next leader. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports from Hong Kong there are two clear favorites.
Carrie Lam, she was the former Hong Kong chief secretary, and she actually is the Beijing favorite, and she says she wants to focus on narrowing the wealth gap. And she sees that as the root of Hong Kong's unrest. The second is Hong Kong's former financial secretary for nearly 10 years, John Zhang, and he says he wants more inclusiveness and a more harmonious society.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. We talk so much about Kyrie Irving being the top point guard in the league, and aside from OKC's Russell Westbrook, the Knicks found out the hard way about Portland's Damian Lillard, who put on a show in the Rose City, pouring in 30 en route to the Blazers' 110-95 win over New York. Kristaps Porzingis on the disappointing night as a whole.
I was able to come off screens and get good looks, and guys are trying to find me. It was just, you know, I didn't make a three, hit a couple or hit three of those threes that changed the whole game. So
Porzingis finished with 18 along with 9 rebounds in the loss. New York is 20 games out of first and fighting to avoid the NBA lottery. Better luck for the Nets, who, despite sporting the worst record in the NBA, pummeled the Suns 126-98 at Barclays Center. KJ McDaniels had 16 to lead Brooklyn. On the frozen floor, the Rangers and Islanders had the night off. The Devils were doubled up north of the border by the Maple Leafs 4-2. Four separate players scored for Toronto. College basketball March Madness brackets getting smaller and smaller, yet Xavier, the lone Big East team left standing, stood tall against second seed Arizona.
Here we go. Gooden's going to pick it up at half court. The clock will start. Gooden hands it off now to Bernard. Bernard blew it. Lobs it inside. O'Mara. Layup good. Beautiful play drawn up by Chris Mack.
Westwood won on the call. 11th seed Xavier shocks the Wildcats 73-71 to set up a date with Destiny on Saturday when they face top seed Gonzaga. Both teams looking for their first trip to the Final Four. Kansas and Oregon both move on. In spring training, Yankees and Rays play to a 5-5 tie while the Nationals edge the Mets 1-0. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Sports M&A news. The man who brought us the Mighty Ducks, former Disney chief Michael Eisner, is in talks to acquire the Portsmouth Football Club. Eisner's firm currently reviewing the English soccer team's financial information and has 70 days to negotiate a deal without interference from other parties. Acquiring Portsmouth would be a rare foray into a lower-tier soccer league for a wealthy foreign investor. S&P futures up 3 points, a tenth of 1%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart and efficient choice to manage your philanthropy. Visit jcfny.org.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Korn Ferry. Leadership, rewards, culture, recruitment. Let Korn Ferry help sync your talent to your strategy to release the full power of your people. Learn more at kornferry.com/up. 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump has made an ultimatum to lawmakers, telling them to pass the health care bill or forget about repealing Obamacare. Aides say if the measure is blocked, he'll move on to other priorities. Credit Suisse is bucking the trend on bonuses. The firm boosted its bonus pool 6% last year to about $3 billion, roughly the same amount it reportedly hopes to raise by selling shares. Micron technology stocks surged more than 10% in late trading after predicting sales and profit that exceeded analysts' estimates. Results for the chipmaker were helped by demand for its phone and personal computer parts. And Americans can't get enough of champagne. Imports jumped 6.3% in 2016 to the highest level in 9 years. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And some headlines here crossing the Bloomberg moments ago. Air Products and Chemicals scrapped its proposal to buy Yingde Gases Group, ending its almost three-month-old bid for the Chinese company after a private equity firm in Asia beat its offer. And futures this morning are little changed to higher. S&P futures now up 2 points. Dow futures up 26. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 32 cents to $48.02 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.70 to $12.4740 an ounce. The euro, $1.0805. The yen, 111.04. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, London's counter-terror chief says that Khalid Massoud, the Westminster attacker who killed four people and injured 50 near Parliament, was born Adrian Russo Ajayo. Chief Mark Rowley also announced a pair of significant arrests in the case, bringing the total number of people in custody to 9. A 10th person is out on bail. A controversial pipeline project is expected to get a green light today. Senior officials say the Trump administration will approve the Keystone XL pipeline, ending years of delay for the controversial project. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Trailblazers. The Nets rose above the Suns. In the NHL, the Devils lost, the Capitals won in a shootout. The men's NCAA basketball tournament resumed Thursday. Xavier upset Arizona. Gonzaga, Kansas, and Oregon also advanced. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, on a road that does not have any traffic, the catch, it's in the South Pole. Explorations Company is offering a two-week drive across the South Pole. Explorations says only 23 people have ever done it. Bob travelers get a chance to hike Antarctica's highest mountain, cross-country ski across the frozen tundra, and locate the point on Earth where all 24 time zones meet.
Oh, now that's interesting. You could jump between them, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, wake up.
Yeah, it's a cool road trip.
Yeah.
It really is. Let's see what I did there, by the way. Explorations Company is charging $165,000 per person for the trip. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
Well, when you talk emerging markets, you can add another adjective ahead of Myanmar. To coin a phrase, it is an NEM, a nascent emerging market. We're talking about the nation formerly known as Burma. Bloomberg held its first ever event in Myanmar earlier this month, the Invest Myanmar Summit in Yangon. And Nathaniel Baker of the Bloomberg Brief is joining us from our Hong Kong studio now to talk about it. Nathaniel, good morning. Welcome. So how morning, was the conference you. And what was your big takeaway?
It was very interesting. The one takeaway was just the enormous potential that this country has. I mean, if you're looking for an emerging market, and another term that people use obviously is frontier markets, but if you're looking for the next big growth area, it kind of has everything from, you know, a ton of natural resources, a pretty big population of about 50 million, which is about the size of England or South Korea. And it's just emerging from about 50 years of kind of a military dictatorship. They had their first, you know, elections that were actually honored by the military a couple years ago, and now have a new government. And so it's kind of like a blank slate for Western investment and for things like that. And so from that perspective, it's actually very exciting.
So you say the potential is enormous. What are some of the opportunities we're talking about here?
Well, it's probably easier to say why the opportunities aren't. And one area there is actually telecoms. Believe it or not, that's one area where a couple of Western companies, at least, have already kind of gotten involved. One is Telenor, and the Norwegian company, and then Ooredoo, the Qatari company, and they've already kind of staked that out. And then there's a local company involved as well. So that'll be other than that, it's, I mean, you name it. I mean, infrastructure is a massive need. You know, extraction of these natural resources that I mentioned, you have gas onshore and off. There's a ton of agricultural possibilities. Banking, I think very few Burmese actually have bank accounts still. So those are just some of them, and everything like consumer products and things like that. That's where tons of the opportunities are.
Quickly here, we've got about a half minute left. You talked about the military leadership. Business friendly laws and regulations in place to permit international investment?
The very basic ones are, but there, more is needed. And that's one of the complaints that people have about Myanmar so far. And we saw this at the conference as well, is that there's not enough regulation yet to kind of allow for all this, the type of investment that you would like. I mean, one area is the stock exchange, and there's four companies, but you can only trade it if you're a local. And so the capital markets are very, very nascent. There's virtually nothing there. So that's one area where there's been a lot of criticism.
Thank you very much, Nathaniel Baker from Bloomberg Brief, joining us this morning from our Hong Kong bureau. And you can read Nathaniel's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function Brief Go. S&P futures up 2 points right now, 0.1%. Dow futures higher by 30 points. NASDAQ futures up by 8 points. 10-year Treasury prices are holding steady at this hour, the yield at 2.4213%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Challenge what's possible. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers on the Land Rover lineup during the Own the Adventure sales event. Or call 1-800-FIND-4WD. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. An accelerating economy in the euro area is translating into faster job creation and stronger inflation pressures. A purchasing managers index for the region rose to 56.7 in March. That's the highest level in almost 6 years and well ahead of economists' expectations for 55.8. Hiring in the euro area picked up in both manufacturing and services.
Oil is on track for its third weekly decline, weighed down by record-high U.S. stockpiles. Against that backdrop, OPEC leaders meet in Kuwait this weekend to discuss extending production curbs beyond this summer. Right now, Brent crude is trading. It is up 0.75% to 50.92. WTI is trading up 0.75% to 48.07.
In Asia today, equities gained for the 10th day in the last 11 sessions. Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Stocks in Tokyo rallying the most in 2 weeks as the yen snapped an 8-day winning streak. Toshiba adding nearly 8% after a hedge fund, Ethesimo Capital, became its top shareholder. The Kospi today closing 0.2% lower, with Samsung Group shares dragging as executives apologized for the company's involvement in the influence scandal and the Note 7 debacle. The Hang Seng fluctuating as investors assess the earnings parade, and shares in Shanghai closing at the highest for the week this Friday. Also out of China, more property curbs have been imposed in Beijing by the PBOC. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Sophie, thanks. Shares of Huishan Dairy, the Chinese company targeted by short seller Carson Block, plunged 85% in Hong Kong today, wiping out more than $4 billion in market value. Block said in December the company is worth close to zero, but tells Bloomberg he was surprised by today's sudden drop.
And Credit Suisse says it increased its bonus pool by 6%, while CEO Tijan Tiam was paid $12 million for his first full year on the job. The news comes as the Swiss bank considers a $3 billion share sale.
And time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. Imagine transforming your business with SEI's global platform at SEIC.com/IMS. Well, the VIX rose 2.4% yesterday to close at 1312. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down 1.1% to 1297. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures are higher. S&P futures up about 2 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Bentley University. What do tying up the finances at Converse and managing asset allocations at J.P. Morgan have in common? A business degree from Bentley University, because business is everywhere. Prepare here. Let's get more now on our lead story of the morning out of Washington, D.C. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump is threatening to leave Obamacare in place and move on to other issues if a House vote on a Republican replacement health care plan fails today. Republican Congressman Chris Collins, a Trump ally, is predicting success despite some Republicans saying after long negotiations that they'll still say no.
I mean, really, this is the binary choice, which is why we have to put it on the floor. A no vote is a vote to keep Obamacare, which has imploded.
House leaders delayed yesterday's scheduled vote on the Republican health care plan. The measure has drawn opposition from conservatives, moderates, and Democrats. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi called trying to vote on the seventh anniversary of the signing of the Affordable Care Act mean-spirited.
I don't know if you want to call this, on Trump's part, a rookie's error, but you don't find a day and say we're going to pass a bill. You build your consensus in your caucus, and when you're ready, you set the date to bring it to the floor.
The White House is calling on Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York to back down from his threat to filibuster President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Neil Gorsuch. Senator Schumer said Judge Gorsuch will need to reach 60 votes in cloture, and he's calling on Democrats to vote no. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
We find Senator Schumer's announcement truly disappointing because it breaks with the tradition of how the Senate has handled Supreme Court confirmation votes in modern time and represents the type of partisanship that Americans have grown tired of.
Senior officials say the Trump administration will approve the Keystone XL pipeline today. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Knicks ran into one of the top point guards in the game and far from home.
Lillard brings it up, has not scored in the second half yet. Trying for an 8th straight game of at least 25. He has 19. Dame now dribbles right. Here comes his chance to score, and he hits the three. So a third three-pointer for Lillard and four tries. The Blazers' 7th and 10 tries.
Blazers radio on the call as Damian Lillard blitzed the Knicks all night to the tune of 30 points in the 110-95 drubbing in Portland. Four starters scored in double figures for New York. The Nets, they left their fans wondering, why haven't they played like this all season? Pounding Phoenix 126-98 at Barclays Center. It's their 15th win of the year. Brook Lopez had 19. On the ice, both New York teams were off. The Devils were not. Taken down by the Maple Leafs 4-2 in Toronto. Rangers are in fourth place, while the Isles are on the outside looking in by just 2 points. March Madness alive and well for the Big East's Xavier as the 11th seed shocks 2nd seed Arizona in San Jose, 73-71. All that stands in their way of their first trip to the Final Four is a date with number 1 seed Gonzaga. Xavier coach Chris Mack.
I know Karnowski. If I mispronounced his name, I apologize. I know they have Nigel Goss. I know Mark Few's done an incredible job. I don't know a lot of their players. Jonathan Williams, we tried to get on a transfer, and he didn't give us much. I put all our efforts into focusing on Arizona.
Oregon and Kansas both victorious. In baseball, the Mets come up short to the Nationals 1-0, while the Yankees and Rays finished in a 5-5 tie. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thanks very much. In Hong Kong this weekend, the territory's new chief executive will be chosen by a very select group of voters, Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports.
An election committee of about 1,200 people will cast their votes this Sunday for Hong Kong's next chief executive. And it's a simple numbers game. The winner will need 601 of those votes. Now let's take a look at the main candidates. One is Carrie Lam. She's Hong Kong's former chief secretary, the second highest ranking official in government. She's Beijing's favorite, and Beijing hasn't done a very good job of keeping that a secret. She would be Hong Kong's first female leader. The other is John Zhang, the former financial secretary. Now, he has more popular support. He's scored higher in polls, but that may count for very little in this closed-door vote. If Carrie Lam wins, then Hong Kong may be left with another leader that doesn't have popular support. But if not, then Beijing may have to accept the alternative or be forced to veto the vote, something it's never had to do. And that could stir more discontent and possibly protests. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Wilson, thanks very much. Now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
It's a bizarre situation, said Senator John McCain, and that's perhaps the only thing that can be said with certainty about Representative Devin Nunes' stunning disclosures this week. Nunes, the chairman of the House committee that's investigating Russia's meddling in the 2016 election, said he had seen communications intercepted by intelligence agencies that appeared to come from Trump's associates. Nunes acknowledged that he had shared the material with the president, but not with the rest of the intelligence committee. If the identity of any of Trump's associates was unmasked, asked and widely shared, as Nunes reported, then either the conversations in question had foreign intelligence value or American agents and their supervisors violated the rules. Either possibility is unsettling. His grudging apology notwithstanding, Nunes has made clear that he's no longer qualified to lead this investigation. The best way to get to the bottom of Russia's interference in the election is through an independent commission, a bipartisan group outside Congress that could conduct public hearings and produce a definitive report. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now, your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Without mentioning names, the head of the United Nations is acknowledging the emerging fissure in the landmark Paris Global Climate Agreement as President Donald Trump moves forward with plans to gut environmental programs in the U.S. Secretary General Antonio Guterres told delegates at U.N. headquarters that he remained optimistic that any withdrawal by national leaders will be offset by businesses and local governments that have pledged to continue cutting emissions.
Even if some national governments backtrack in commitments, the combined effects of subnational authorities, businesses, and civil society will create an unstoppable momentum. They know that climate action is not only the right thing to do, it's good for business and the bottom line.
The former Portuguese prime minister didn't single out the U.S. or Trump, who's calling for sweeping cuts to climate change research and increasing fossil fuel use. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up a single point, less than a tenth of 1% now. Dow futures up 27 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 7 points. 10-year treasuries are down 1/32nd. The yield at 2.4231. The 2-year yield at 1.2649. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. The Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Bush Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, winner of the 2017 Dealer Rater Dealer of the Year New Jersey and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and define the way you drive at BenzelBush.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. U.S. stock index futures, little change to higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, modest gains in the U.S. futures today before the healthcare vote. Dow futures are currently higher by 24 points. S&P's gained 2, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 6. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.42%. Japan rose 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are posting modest losses this morning, led by declines in France and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI. After the bell last night, Micron guided higher for Q3. Shares gained 12% in the pre-market, and GameStop was mixed. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Finish Line to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Micron's price target was raised to a street-high 47 from 40 over at Stiefel. And wrapping things up, at Credit Suisse, Adobe raised to outperform. First Energy raised to buy at Goldman Sachs. Under Armour raised to buy at Jefferies. And Transocean cut to underweight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Republicans could be rolling the dice today with a scheduled vote on their health care overhaul. It comes as President Donald Trump says he's finished negotiating with Republican holdouts and determined to pursue the rest of his agenda, win or lose. Leaders abruptly postponed a vote yesterday because a rebellion by conservatives and moderates would have doomed the measure. The federal agency overseeing Donald Trump's lease for a luxury hotel in Washington has ruled his election as president does not violate the terms of his agreement. It bars government officials from profiting from the property. In a letter to the Trump Organization, the General Services Administration says it has determined that the president's business is in full compliance. Trump says that he has transferred control of his business empire to his adult children. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Trailblazers. The Nets rose above the Suns. In the NHL, the Devils lost. The Capitals won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the men's NCAA basketball tournament resumed yesterday. Xavier upset Arizona 73-71. Comedian Bill Murray, he has had a great span of a year so far. His Cubs won the World Series, and now his son goes to Xavier.
He's an assistant coach, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Gonzaga, Kansas, and Oregon also advanced.
Go Musketeers.
Oh, my. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Surprising as it sounds, Republicans are trying to impose regulations on state governments in order to protect workers. Several liberal state governments want to run IRAs for private sector workers whose employers don't offer retirement plans like 401ks. The Obama administration exempted these state-run plans from the regulations that govern almost all other retirement plans for private sector workers. Those regulations include accounting standards and fiduciary obligations for administrators. Republicans oppose the state-run IRAs. They say they'll cause some small businesses not to offer 401ks. Workers would be left with smaller accounts and fewer legal protections. It would be better, they say, to make it easier for small businesses to offer 401ks. And they worry that if these state-run plans have low rates of return or mismanaged, states will ask Washington, D.C. for a bailout. The states that want to run these plans have bad fiscal track records. Congress should split the difference, clarify that states can offer these IRAs, but have to obey the federal rules. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
The period from December through February was the sixth warmest winter on record, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And that put a chill on a lot of small businesses. The warmer weather saved homeowners from frozen pipes, but it slowed business for Ted Puzio's Plumbing and Electrical Company in Roanoke, Virginia. At Atlantic Westchester, a Bedford Hills, New York-based company that services commercial heating and air conditioning systems, President Bud Hammer estimates revenue is down 15% from a typical season. Hope Seidel, co-owner of Golly Gear in Skokie, usually does a brisk business selling doggy coats and booties in winter. She had half the normal amount of sales during January. And Maple Rock Racing of New Hampshire, a promoter of snowmobile races, was hurt when several races had to be postponed due to lack of snow. The second straight year, mild weather has disrupted the schedule. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, you can guess what's on top. House members set to vote on the embattled bill to replace Obamacare after postponing yesterday's vote. President Trump holds a National Economic Council meeting in the Oval Office, and he also plans to hold a Greek Independence Day celebration and to welcome Medal of Honor recipients at the White House. All the while, he'll be waiting to see how that vote turns out in the House. When the president last commented on his embattled health care bill yesterday, he was optimistic about its chances.
We have a great bill, and I think we have a very good chance, but it's only politics.
For more on today's votes, we bring in Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Epstein, joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, Spectrum Enterprise nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Jennifer, it's only politics, the president says, but it seems he got tired of the politics last night and wants a do-or-die vote now. What time do they plan to vote, and is there any chance they could put this off again at the last minute?
The voting is supposed to start around 10 this morning in Washington. And, you know, I think it's very possible that the vote could get pushed back later in the day. But the president made it very clear last night through some of his top aides, including Steve Bannon and Reince Priebus, that he's serious about a vote happening today and that's what he needs. And he says basically, you know, vote on it on Friday or we're going to move on and we're going to keep Obamacare and we're going to let Obamacare collapse. And then, you know, that's going to hurt Democrats politically is his belief. You know, so those are the kind of the options. And I think he's sort of daring both the conservative Freedom Caucus members who are saying that they're going to vote against it, and also some of the moderates who don't like this new bill, how it's been modified to get conservatives on board, which is by getting rid of some of kind of the most what's called the essential benefits. So we're now in a situation where the president is saying, daring Republicans to not take this opportunity to actually repeal Obamacare, because they say that this bill is not what they want, or they think it's going to, actually cause more damage. So it's really, he's trying to, kind of play this political game. For all he says, it's just politics. He's frustrated and he wants to move on. He's not somebody who is particularly passionate about health care. He cares a lot more about tax reform and overhauling how the U.S. Handles trade issues. Those are really his two big priorities that he hasn't been able to get started on in any real way.
Okay.
And he wants to get to those things instead.
Also making news on the Hill is a vow by the top Democrat in the Senate to go all out to block a vote on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York announced he'll lead a filibuster against confirmation.
His nomination will have a cloture vote. He will have to earn 60 votes for confirmation.
Jennifer, how many Democratic votes do the Republicans who control the Senate need to advance this nomination?
They need, I think, about a half a dozen or eight, I think, actually. I think the issue here is that Democrats have very few options in the Senate to actually block anything the Republicans want to do, including the Supreme Court nomination. They're still angry about Merrick Garland last year, the President Obama's nominee, who never even got a hearing because the Republicans who were in leadership, didn't want to move ahead on that because they kind of wanted to see how the November election turned out.
Yeah.
And basically hold that nomination open. And so now Schumer's trying to use every procedural option he has to slow down this process as much as possible. And that's really his only option. And it's really, it's a play for the Democratic base, which is, very much kind of, in the mindset of resist Trump, resist congressional Republicans.
Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Epstein, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. She joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Tom Keene and David Gura coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance. And right now, let's get a last check of the markets from Karen Moscow.
All right. Thank you, Bob. S&P futures up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 25. NASDAQ futures are up 7. Stocks in Europe are moving lower, with the DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The FTSE 100 down about the same. And the CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.42%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.5%. And for Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.